Hello, and thank you for listening to today's episode of JATcast, the official podcast of the Journal of Athletic Training. I'm your host, Luke Donovan. This month, we will review two articles over two short episodes from the latest issue of the Journal of Athletic Training. The theme of these two episodes is discussing practices that should be a component of all athletic trainers' duties, however, are often modified to accommodate time constraints and other stakeholder barriers. The goal of both episodes is to reframe the importance of these duties and to discuss common limiting factors that threaten compliance. For the first episode, I will summarize the article titled, Compliance with National Athletic Trainers Association, Inter-Association Task Force Preseason, Heat Acclimatization Guidelines in High School Football by Dr. Zachary Kerr and colleagues from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, University of Buffalo, Waseda University, and the University of Connecticut. As a reminder, the article discussed today can be found on the JAT website, natajournals.org. And please remember that all content from JAT is open access to all readers thanks to the funding from the National Athletic Trainers Association. Let's survey the scene. Over a given year, around 9,000 exertional heat illness events are treated annually across high school athletics. 1 in 6 football-related deaths are attributed to heat stroke. Provided that exertional heat illness-related deaths are preventable but continue to occur, continued stakeholder education and implementation of gold standard prevention and treatment strategies are vital to eliminate the incidents. Speaking to the prevention component, proper heat acclimatization is a recommended strategy to reduce the occurrence of heat illness in athletics. Due to the effectiveness, the NATA created an interassociational task force known as the NATA-IATF to establish preseason heat acclimatization guidelines for high school athletes with specific recommendations for football. These guidelines were released in 2009, and since the release, a number of states have mandated the implementation of these guidelines. Exertional heat illness was reduced by 55% in states that mandated the acclimatization guidelines. Despite the positive impact, only 2.5% of U.S. high schools implemented the guidelines, although it is important to note that the compliance rate was much higher in high schools located in a state that mandated the practice. Now that more time has passed since the development of the guidelines, reevaluating the compliance is necessary and was the primary purpose of this study. The author's two stated hypotheses were the prevalence of school compliance with the NATA-IATF heat acclimatization guidelines during the 2017 high school football preseason would exceed that of the 2011 preseason. And the second hypothesis was that the prevalence of high school compliance with the NATA-IATF guidelines during the 2017 high school football preseason would be highest in states whose state athletic association mandated the guidelines. To complete this study, a survey was administered by way of email to a little over 7,000 athletic trainers working with high school football programs. Approximately 1,000 athletic trainers completed the survey in its entirety. The survey asked questions about whether the 17 specific items from the guidelines were implemented. Here are the NATA-IATF preseason guidelines, originally written by CASA et al. The first category happens within the first 5 days of preseason. 1. During the first 5 days of formal football practices, walkthroughs should be no more than 1 hour in length. 2. Double practice days did not occur the first 5 days of formal football practice. Category 2, length of practice. 1. Single practice days consisted of practices no more than 3 hours in length. 2. Double practice days consisted of practices no more than 5 hours in total length. And 3. No more than 2 practices occurred per day. Category 3 involved the length of rest breaks. 1. A 3-hour recovery period occurred between the practice and walkthrough, or vice versa. 2. 2 practices were separated by a break of at least 3 continuous hours that was in a cool environment. 3. Double practice days were not followed by another double practice day. And 4. 1 day of complete rest after 6 consecutive days of practice. The fourth category involved the presence of an athletic trainer. 1. Athletic trainers must be on site before, during, and after all practices. An athletic trainer also had to have the ability to cancel, delay practices because of inclement weather or heat restrictions. The fifth category was about equipment alterations. One, helmet was the only equipment worn on the first 2 days of practice. Two, during days 3 through 5, only helmets and shoulder pads were worn. And three, all protective equipment was not worn until day 6. The final category was modifying contact drills. One, contact with blocking sleds was not initiated until day 3. Two, contact with tackling dummies was not initiated until day 3. And three, 100% full contact drills were not initiated until day 6. Here are the results of the survey. Overall, around 16% of respondents worked in states with mandated, 49% worked in states with partial mandates, with the remaining 35% coming from individuals working in states with no mandated guidelines. Athletic trainers reported that their high school football programs complied with an average of 12 of the 17 specific preseason guidelines. Moreover, almost 74% of athletic trainers reported compliance with 10 or more guidelines. However, only 4% of athletic trainers reported compliance with all 17 guidelines. The guidelines with the most compliance, all of which were over 93%, were no more than 2 practices per day, 1 day of complete rest after 6 consecutive days of practice, an athletic trainer must be on site before, during, and after all practices, and double practice days consisted of practices no more than 5 hours in total length. On the other hand, a 3-hour recovery period occurred between the practice and walkthroughs was the guideline least followed and was complied with for only 44% of athletic trainers. Specific to the author's first hypothesis as to whether compliance improved between 2011 and 2017, this study showed that the percent of athletic trainers that were fully compliant with all guidelines was not statistically different between the two time frames. However, the percent of ATs who complied with 10 or more guidelines rose from 58 to 74%. The authors also found that their second hypothesis, that mandating states would have a higher compliance rate than states that partially mandated or had no mandation, to be true. Overall, the cause of the improved compliance between 2011 and 2017 of implementing the guidelines in high school football remains unknown. Although improvements were made over the 6-year span, compliance rates can still be further increased. Future studies should examine common barriers preventing full compliance with the established acclimatization guidelines if followed. On a final note, again, heat stroke-related deaths are 100% preventable through proper prevention and treatment strategies. So as a profession, we must continue to advocate for time and resources to implement and comply with these strategies. Well, that's it for today's JAT Cast. Please remember to rate and subscribe to the podcast, which is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, and Stitcher. You can find out more information about upcoming podcasts and other JAT events on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram accounts at JAT_NATA. Thank you for listening and keep a lookout for our next JAT episode.